goal, but being debt-free overall puts you in the most control over your finances.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Retire While You Work podcast. I'm Miles Zuger, wealth advisor here at Adams Wealth Partners, joined by Carson Odom, also a wealth advisor here at Adams Wealth Partners. And today, topic of conversation, continuing with these themes here, is managing debt. So when we're working with clients, you know, a lot of the times on the front end, you focus just on the investments, whether it be investment accounts, 401ks, maybe some real estate properties they own. But also an important piece of the pie is debt and how much debt they're taking on, what their leverage is, what their goals are, and making sure that it's not too much for them to handle. I think as much as the assets are important to the plan, it's also important to know what the debt load is and how manageable is that for you, because that's where we've seen a lot of plans go off track, is through just people whose debt got out of control and they didn't have cash to be able to handle it. So that's going to be the topic today. Carson, what do you have to add here on the intro?
Yeah, I think there's a general perception of good debt and bad debt. Not all debt is bad. Not all debt is good. I think if we just to kick things off, where my mind goes is to kind of throw some things into each of those buckets. So good debt, in my opinion, is most things that are securitized. So what I mean by securitized is the debt is secured against an asset. So for example, if you buy a home, that is a securitized debt. You're buying a home, let's just say it's worth $500,000. You put a down payment on it of 100 grand, you've got a $400,000 mortgage. In my opinion, that's good debt. You are taking on debt to buy an appreciating asset. So you're taking on debt. Now it costs you something. You've got an interest rate, so you have to pay to service that debt, but you're using it to purchase an appreciating asset. Generally, my belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, but debt to purchase appreciating assets is generally good debt, as opposed to debt used to purchase depreciating assets or expenses can be lumped into the category of bad debt. So for example, running up a credit card to pay for groceries or electronics or shopping and toys, et cetera, that would be viewed as bad debt, as those are expenses on unnecessary items, or could be necessary if your food, you just don't have the income to pay for it. You're going to be paying an outrageous interest rate, or a vehicle. You know, this is a tough one, whether a vehicle debt would be viewed as good or bad, because lots of factors there. But generally, you're taking on debt in order to buy a depreciating asset. But on the other hand, a good debt would be, in the simplest terms, buying a home. That's good debt. It's appreciated.
And I mean, on that car theme, it's, you know, to kind of continue, I think, you know, good debt, everybody needs a car. Like, so if you can't afford to pay cash for a car, there's probably going to be a car payment. I know the majority, it's a big percentage of cars have a car note on them. I mean, it's just not a lot of people have, you know, cars are expensive nowadays. So you're buying a new car, you need $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Not a lot of people just have that kind of money laying around to other purchase a car. So a lot of people have a car note, but that doesn't mean you need to go out and buy a $100,000 car when you can go and buy a $30,000 car. So just managing that side of it, I think, as well, and just kind of being smart and getting it to where that's a reasonable expense for you monthly if you're on the car payment and you're not paying. I mean, I see videos all the time on social media where, I mean, people go around and, you know, their car payment's $1,000, $1,200. So if that's a huge piece of your income, I mean, maybe you can afford it. But if it's a big piece and it's stretching you every month, you're probably better off to have something a little bit more affordable for you.
I agree. Going back on the mortgage side of things, I've always heard a rough rule of thumb. Obviously, it's a tougher housing market. We talked about this on two or three episodes ago, just about the state of housing affordability with higher interest rates, higher housing prices. There hasn't really been a correction in housing prices, at least here in Nashville. But if you are purchasing a home, there are a lot of things you have to factor in, not only your principal and interest payment when it comes to your mortgage, but also property taxes, homeowners insurance, and just the cost of owning a home. I mean, you and I know that there are things that go wrong with the house. There are repair people you have to bring in to fix stuff. There are
regular maintenance.
Regular maintenance. Lawn care. Or you want to plant some new flowers out front. hang some ferns up, whatever. There's always going to be a cost associated with the home. I've heard a great rule of thumb to go by is don't let your housing costs exceed 25% of your net income on a monthly basis. So, if your paychecks, let's just say you get paid 5 grand 2 times a month, you've got 10 grand net coming in on a monthly basis. Try to keep your housing costs around $2,500 a month. Now, if you're going out and buying a new home, with a higher interest rate, it's going to take a higher down payment in order to get that mortgage payment lower. Now, should you go above 25%? Sure, absolutely. It's all trade-offs these days, but if you can try to keep your housing costs close to that 25% of your net income rate, I think it's going to set you up to have a lot more flexibility with your other spending.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think the biggest piece of to all this is just managing debt. So, I mean, what are the extremes in managing debt? I mean, you have the Dave Ramsey approach where you're stuffing money in envelopes, and that's your money for groceries every month, and your money for the mortgage and the car payment and whatever other expenses you have. I think that's the extreme, and some people need that. Some people need the discipline of this is literally the cash, and that's all that I can spend on these expenses for the month.
Yep, that's
But a
good.
little more reasonable maybe is just using some sort of app and really just tracking your expenses. I mean, I would say that's the biggest piece is a lot of people, and this is kind of flipping to budgeting, I guess, but a lot of people just don't even know what they're spending each month. So getting to a point where you at least know what you're spending, is it going to debt? Is it going to other discretionary expenses? Is it going to non-discretionary expenses? Where is the money going every month? Having an idea of that. And then that allows you to decide, all right, how do we manage this debt? How do we pay it down if it's student loans or a car or the mortgage and you're wanting to pay that down? Which, I mean, I could argue that's not the best decision to make, especially if you have a low interest rate on it, but a low interest rate on that property. But knowing where your money's going is the first step to being able to manage that debt. Because if you are somebody who's more debt averse, you're probably wanting to pay that down a little bit quicker. And so you need to know, how much am I spending on stuff I don't really need every month? So that maybe I can start adding that money to my debt payments as to be able to snowball that effect and pay those down a little bit quicker. So I think the first step to managing debt is just knowing what your budget is and where your money's going every month.
And absolutely, look at priorities when it comes to your finances. Personally, for us, what after Rachel and I got married, a house was a pretty top priority. So for us, it was making sure our finances were in order in to enable us to buy a home. So if you are sitting in a position where you have credit card interest debt, I think the Dave Ramsey approach to credit card debt is somewhat healthy. I mean, I think it's a great idea to be so amped up to get your credit card debt paid off because the interest rates associated with credit card debt are usually outrageous. We're talking like literally 25 to 30% interest on credit card debt. So
Yeah,
if you're thinking
I
about
get like some promo stuff in the just not crap. I get some promo stuff in the mail every now and then, where it used to be like 0%. It'd be like promo rate 0.0% for 6 months or to the end of the year. The last one I got was dropping it down to 9.99%. So it's literally versus going from like 20 to zero, they're now going from like 30 to 10 as a promo rate to try and get you charged more. So it's like it's
That's
crazy.
crazy.
That's the
It is
first time I'd
crazy.
seen that.
And you've got to think this is, and then back up and just think about what your interest is going towards. For a lot of people, they end up shopping or paying for a trip that they can't, or they put in a trip on a credit card that they can't pay for. And then to pay for some clothes or going on a trip, just mentally think about it before you get yourself into that situation. If you are in that situation, it's fine. Almost everyone in the country has been in that situation at some point. You've got to start looking forward and past that and think, where do I want to be financially 12 months from now? Let me do everything I can to pay off this credit card debt, get rid of this awful interest rate. Because then you can also be on the office and think, okay, if I'm applying $1,000 a month towards this credit card debt, what can I do with $1,000 a month after I get this credit card debt paid off? Then you can be on the offense and think, okay, I've got this debt paid off. I'm not paying the bank 30% interest on these previous expenses. What do I want to do with all these funds? Then you can start to think and say, what are my top priorities? Maybe now it's saving enough to put a down payment on a house to finally be able to buy a home. Or maybe it's saving enough to put a huge down payment on a car, and then you can really pay down the loan fast. Essentially, what being debt free, now being debt free along with your mortgage is a long goal, but being debt free overall puts you in the most control over your finances, because whether it's debt, subscriptions, that's what creates the feeling of being tight and pinched, no matter how high your income goes, is you have all these monthly obligations, whether it's a Netflix cost or Hulu, you name what subscription it ends up being. On top of, I've got a car payment, I've got this credit card payment, I've got my mortgage payment, I've got this, 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 and this. All of a sudden, your whole monthly budget is just going towards expenses that you're obligated to pay. So being debt free and not tying yourself to a bunch of subscriptions ends up enabling you the most financial freedom, really.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who, you know, and I hope this isn't us coming off as debt shaming, because we're certainly not trying to do that. Life happens. And sometimes you have to take on a little bit of debt, rack the credit card up a little bit just to get through. Maybe you lost a job, medical emergency, et cetera. I mean, life, we certainly empathize with that and know that life happens. But if you're somebody who has a really hard time managing, like the credit card is something that gets away from you every month, the best thing you can do is cut it up and only start using cash. And you don't have to be using physical cash. You can be using a debit card, but truly only spending what you actually have, not taking out credit on a credit card, and racking that up. So again, life happens, but how you react to that, how you overcome that, if you only start racking up a credit card and you look down and you have a $20,000 balance on a credit card from a couple, you know, 6 months of just living, you're going to have, that's not a problem that's going to last in just another 6 months. That's a problem that could potentially last 10 years for people. And we've seen that before. Yeah. So it's just being smart and getting help. I mean, what do you feel like? I mean, we obviously have helped people manage debt before, but what are maybe some other easy resources that come top of your mind, Carson, that if somebody is struggling, maybe they, you know, something happened in life and they ended up with $20,000 or $30,000 on a credit card. How can you just even get started paying that down?
Sure. I think if you find yourself in that position, I think the Dave Ramsey philosophy when it comes to consumer debt is healthy. And he has resources on his website, Ramsey Solutions, or of course, come to us, find a professional, just reach out and say, hey, I need some advice, and just talk to someone, talk to one of us. And we're more than happy to do that. Just to provide some advice, because there's not a perfect way to pay down debt. You could pay down higher interest or pay down the smallest balance first, whatever. It's going to get the job done. But the biggest thing is just making a plan. So if you can get a plan laid out with the help from someone who knows about finances and knows about debt management, then that's going to put you on the best foot forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's a ton of resources out there. I think a lot of times people are maybe embarrassed to admit it, or just don't even know where to start. But I mean, the longer you wait to start that interest, I mean, at 30% or whatever it is on a credit card right now, is only building up faster. And so for most people, they just need to start. And there's a ton of resources out there. I mean, there's, you know, a ton of like debt consolidation companies that can help you take it on for lower interest rate. I mean, they don't always make sense, but at times they do, especially when rates are as high as they are on a credit card, and they're probably a little bit lower on that. But just being smart, admitting that you need help, and then finding some sort of resource to help you out and just to get started. I mean, again, like Carson, there's a ton of different ways to go about it. There's no right or wrong way to go about managing debt. I mean, it's really whatever works best for you. And at the end of the day, what can help you be successful in getting that knockdown?
I'll also say that the current market of interest rates impacts our opinions and advice we would give slightly, not entirely. When it comes to consumer debt, credit card debt, pretty much nothing's going to change, because it's just a matter of, are you being charged 30% or 20% on your credit card? That advice is generally going to stay the same. Vehicle loans, it does change, because nowadays you're probably taking out a loan for anywhere from 7 to 15% for a car. 3 years ago, you were taking out like a 1% loan to buy a used vehicle. And arguably, based on your income and responsibility, it almost makes more sense to take out a loan, because that's nearly free money that mm-hmm. instead of taking cash out of your pocket. And then lastly, on the mortgage side of things, that's also kind of dependent on the current interest rate environment, because if you've got a 2 or 3% mortgage from a handful of years ago, then again, same thing. It's kind of free money to take advantage of. You're borrowing at 2 or 3% on a home that's more than likely appreciating. maybe not the pace of what it was 2 or 3 years ago. And that enables you can make more with your money sitting in a bank account these days than the interest you're paying on your mortgage. Because now you've got a 7 or 8% mortgage. That's a different discussion. There's not a lot of investment items out there that can yield you a guarantee greater than 7 or 8%. I don't know if there's really anything that can guarantee 7 or 8% when you know you're going to save 7 or 8% by applying a more towards your principal and saving money on interest on your mortgage. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like on the mortgage one specifically, there's so many different, like, it's such a gray area. I mean, almost, I think you would probably agree with me, but almost regardless of where rates are at, it's such a gray area because if, I mean, even outside of the consideration of where rates are at, it's, is it your forever home? Has it appreciated a ton in a short period of time when you have a ton of equity in the house? I mean, and the matter of fact of like, you have to pay to live somewhere unless your house is paid for, obviously. So it's like if you're trying to pay your house off. If you're 30 years old and you're trying to pay your house off, and that just means so you can upgrade from a, I'm making this up, from a $500,000 house to a $1 million house, and now you move into a $1 million house and you have a $500,000 mortgage. That doesn't make a ton of sense in my book. But if you're somebody who's 60 or 65 and you're closing in on retirement and a goal, and that's, you know, your mortgage is however many thousand a month, and your goal is to have that thing paid off to cut out one of your biggest monthly expenses when your income is going away, that makes a ton of sense. So even outside of interest rates, when you're talking about the mortgage specifically, it's just really just where are you at in life and what is important to you in the phase of life that you're in. But I would say if you're somebody who's young and almost regardless of where your rate is, I could sit here and make a strong argument of why you should not pay that house off.
Yeah, I agree. Generally, going into retirement, try to be debt free. Try to, of course, there's different exceptions to that, but debt for appreciating assets and good debt when you're young, it's not a bad thing.
How about you give like your maybe your number one tip for managing debt, and I'll give mine.
Put me on the spot. I think when it comes to debt, I think sometimes there can be an unwillingness to share and seek advice, just due to shame. But I think the reality is debt is extremely common, and all types of situations when it comes to debt, whether it's a huge car payment or a mortgage or consumer debt, et cetera, it's a lot more common than what you might think. So if you happen to find yourself in this situation, get some help, seek some advice. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If anything, it's more encouraging and something to be proud of by seeking advice from others. That's my one thing. If you find yourself in a situation where you're trying to get out of a mountain of debt, seek some help from someone close to you that you know that knows a lot about debt management, financial planning, and can offer some advice, or come to us and we'll do it.
That's good. Mine's kind of similar. I mean, it maybe involves getting help. Mine would just be to prioritize the debt. So if you're sitting here with credit cards, a student loan, a house payment, and maybe a car payment, you know, I would just prioritize those. And the way I would do that, or I think that most of us here would prioritize that, is probably credit cards first, and then car payment, followed by student loans, and then the mortgage, and ranking them kind of in that order. So I think prioritizing so that you can get serious about knocking them out. Utilizing that snowball effect that we kind of talked about as extra income's coming in, you know exactly where it's going. And ideally, not all of it's going towards debt. You're putting a little bit of that towards savings or investments also.
That's good. I only thing I would add is be visual. Put a whiteboard or something up in your office or your home, and visually see yourself making progress towards getting that debt paid off. And it's a super encouraging to have, super encouraging thing to have by visually seeing yourself make progress towards that goal. And that goes with anything in life.
Awesome. I think that's great. Thanks for joining us today. That's going to be this week's episode of the Retire While You Work podcast. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
See you next time.
Any opinions are those of myself and not necessarily those of Raymond James. Expressions of opinion are as of this date and are subject to change without notice. The information contained in these podcasts do not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but we do not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Every investor situation is unique, and you should consider your investment goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon before making any investment. Prior to making an investment decision, please consult with your financial advisor about your individual situation. Any hypothetical examples are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary. Raymond James does not provide legal or tax services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.